Amen, amen. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm glad to be here today. So welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us today and hanging out with us in the presence of the Lord. Last week was Father's Day. Today we got to dedicate two babies back to the Lord. And so last week when we started our service, we prayed for Darren and Katie Pacheco. Katie was about that big, and they were going in to induce on Sunday afternoon. And I'm here to tell you that Livy Pacheco was born last Monday morning. So let's, I know they're watching. Let's give them thanks. And this guy, happy birthday, dude. 7 years old, right? Yeah. Yeah, so it's always good to celebrate those kids. Welcome everybody that's present here today. Welcome our online viewers. Come on, church, put your hands together and let them know that we love them as well. Today we're going to dive straight off into the scripture. We're going to continue in our series called Moments here. We've been talking about these moments that we have with God, these moments that we have with people that God has placed in our life. And they're special moments. They're sacred moments, moments that define our life, and we're changed forever by these moments. Today we're going to read a story about a guy who had a moment with God, and we're going to look and see how his life was changed forever. We're going to look at this guy. He was born blind. He had one encounter with Jesus, and he was able to see immediately. What I want you to see about this guy is that he's an ordinary guy. He's not a really educated guy. He probably hasn't been to church much. He doesn't understand a whole lot of theology. He doesn't understand a whole lot of spirituality. He's just a common person that had an encounter with Jesus, and when he had that encounter with Jesus, his life was changed forever. Anybody in this place had an encounter with Jesus, and your life was changed forever? You couldn't maybe explain it. You couldn't quote scripture to make it work. You don't even understand. You just know that you were changed. I want to preach to some people today that have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I may not be much, and I may not be the best preacher, and I may not be the best husband and father, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm better now than I have ever been. I am better now than how I would have turned out if I would have chosen to go my own way. I'm just here to tell you that I'm an old country boy that's not real educated, and I ran smack dab into a risen Savior named Jesus Christ, and he washed me in his blood. He gave me a new heart and a new mind, and my life has forever been changed simply because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, Jesus changed my life. I'm going to read this story about how Jesus healed this man. And I want to take a moment and tell you this today. I want everybody in here to look at me. Look, 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 look. Jesus healed this man in the scripture, and Jesus can still heal us today. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, Jesus is not weaker now than he was back then. Jesus' arm has not been shortened that he cannot heal. He is still God. He is still alive. He is still on the throne, and he still heals today. I want you to open your minds to believe that. I want you to open your hearts to receive the full gospel. See, we're a full gospel church. So, can I preach to y'all today? Some of y'all, or some churches are just part of the gospel, and they just believe in salvation, which is the greatest miracle ever. But we believe that on the cross of Calvary, God didn't die, didn't send his son to die just so we could be saved. We believe this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus still heals people today. You know what? I'm like that song we just sang. I've witnessed the healing power of God. Can I get a witness in here? I have witnessed the healing. I've seen it in my wife. I've seen it in my daughter. I've seen it in this congregation, and I am confident of this. We're going to see his healing power again. I'm going to read you this story about this ordinary guy. It's going to take a long time. It's probably the most scripture that I've ever read in 24 years that I've pastored. I'm going to read you 34 scriptures before I start preaching. 34 scriptures. You've got to hear the whole story because it is such a great story. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray first, and then I'm going to read the scripture. So bow your heads with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this place that's not a perfect place, but it's a place that you've called us to come and to worship you and to celebrate you and to learn about you through the Word of God. Lord, I pray today that you would send your Holy Spirit. The Bible says that a Holy Spirit is our teacher, and so I pray, Holy Spirit, you would teach us today. As we read this story, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal things to us that we have formerly not been able to see. Lord, I pray you would give us focus. I come against the Spirit of ADD in this place, then we would all rein it in, we would listen and focus for 30 minutes, and we would leave here changed because we've heard from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. John chapter 9, that's where the story is found. You can turn there in your Bible, scroll there on your phone. I'm going to read you the whole story, and then we'll get started. John chapter number 9, starting in verse number 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or because of his parents' sin? It was not because of his sin or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, so then no one can work. But while I am here in this world, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus did something a little weird. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as the blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said yes, and others said no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Well, where is he now, they asked. I don't know, he replied. So then they took the man that had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, who put the mud over your eyes? And he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath day. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what is your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet from God. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and that now he could see, so they called the man's parents. And they asked his parents, is this your son who was born blind? If so, how can he see now? And his parents replied, we know this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Why don't you ask him? He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said that because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he's old enough, go ask him. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind, and they told him, God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. But what did he do, they asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I done told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Wow, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he came from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done that. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Wow. What a story. Like, I love this story. I love how it plays out. The first thing that happens is the disciples say to Jesus, they're walking along, and this man is blind. And the disciples turn to Jesus, and they say, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his parents' sin or because of his own sin? See, they're looking for somebody to blame. Can I just tell you something right quick? In the world we live nowadays, we're looking for somebody to blame for the problems and the struggles that are going on in our life. We're looking somewhere to lay the blame. Can I tell you that we live in a fallen world? We live in a world that is messed up and jacked up, and bad things happen to good people, and we can't always find somebody or something to blame it on. Things just happen in life. And the quicker that we can understand that, the easier it is to accept that we're going to have some struggles, that everything is not going to always go the way that we want it to. They said, whose fault is it? And here's what else you got to remember. That God is not the type of father. How many of you grew up in one of them old hellfire and brimstone churches? Come on, somebody. And you had this image of God in your mind that he is a father, but he's kind of an angry father. And he's a little bit mad, and he's expecting perfection out of you. And at the moment that you make a mistake or the moment that you stumble, whack, he throws a big lightning bolt down and zaps you and punishes you for your mistakes. Can I tell you, the God that I serve and the gospel that I have preached, that I've given 25 years of my life to, that God is not a God that expects perfection from you and I. That God is not a God that wants to punish us and inflict pain and harm on us when we make mistakes. It is total opposite of the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible sees us in our imperfections. The God of the Bible sees us making some mistakes. And while we were yet sinners, God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to deliver us out of that life so that we can live for his glory. He's not a God that is out to get you. Hear me. Look. God is not out to get you. He is not so angry at you that he has quit loving you. He does not want you to have a dark and a gloomy future. He sent his Son so we can have life and have life more abundantly. And the quicker that we change our mind and see God for who he is really and not what some angry preacher portrayed of him, the quicker we do that, the better off our lives will be. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says that God chastens those that he loves. God disciplines those. How many of you parents have had to discipline your children? Well, that's what's wrong with the world. You haven't disciplined them. Just saying, I see your kid. I know how your kid acts. We discipline our children. And how many of you have ever had a whipping from your parent and your parent said to you, this hurts me more than it hurts you? That's BS. Come on, somebody. Discipline. There's a difference in punishment and there's a difference in discipline. And we need to understand that. Discipline is to correct. Discipline is to set them back straight on a path that leads to life. And punishment is to inflict pain, harm, loss, or death. And so God will discipline us. He will spank us, and make no mistake about it, some of you need a spanking from the Lord. Me included. But God's not going to punish us. God will discipline us as well. They said, why is this guy born blind? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus answers the question like this, neither one of them. I'm not going to punish this kid. I'm not going to punish this guy. And so we have to be careful not to fall into the trap. The trap of, because as soon as pain hits our life, soon as God disciplines us, soon as something goes wrong, we think God is angry and he's punishing us. Now, I got to tell you a heartfelt story, because if you've come to church here and you've heard me preach much, you know how special my granddad was to me, that I wouldn't be where I am without my granddad. He was that old generation. He was faithful. He wasn't perfect, but he loved me, and he helped me to be a better person. My granddad took on this mentality of God is punishing me when my grandmother died years ago. My grandmother was sick. My grandmother was in the hospital, and my grandmother died. Which the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to live and a time to die. And my grandmother died. And immediately the enemy began to lie to my granddad. And the enemy began to say things like this to my granddad, Donald, If you would have only been a better person, I wouldn't have taken your wife away from you. Donald, if you had only prayed just a little bit more. Donald, if you hadn't have made those mistakes. And so the enemy got in my granddad's mind, and my granddad lived out the remaining years of his life feeling that my grandmother's death was punishment to him for what he got wrong. And can I tell you that that is a mindset and a view of God that is not healthy and will not lead to any kind of goodness in your life. We have to understand God is not out to punish us when we get it wrong. He may discipline us. Everybody understand the difference in punishment and discipline? Say a good amen. Amen. Jesus said it's not either one of them's fault. This happened in this man's life so that the power of God might be displayed in his life. Some of us have been blaming our past. We've been blaming our family. But here's the deal. The very thing that has been holding us back, the very thing that we've been struggling with, is the exact same thing that God wants to come and bring his glory to your life and heal you of that situation. Also, sometimes God allows us to go through some tough times. There's a false doctrine in the world today that says, you know what? If you accept Jesus and you go to church and you put a few dollars in the plate and you say a few prayers, that your life is always going to be blue skies and Palomino horses and you're never going to have any struggles. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It is contrary to the word of God. We are going to live in this world, and we're going to face some tribulation. Jesus said it. We're going to face some struggles, and we're going to face some trials. And in the middle of the trials, we have to continue to trust God and his goodness. Next thing we see is this. There's a man. They're walking along. The man's born blind. The disciples ask the question, why? His parents' fault? His fault? Jesus says, neither of them. And then all of a sudden, we see Jesus get his hands dirty. Jesus spit in the dirt and made some mud. Jesus got his hands dirty. Can I tell you, no matter what kind of dirt and muck and mire you are living in, our Savior is a Savior that is willing to get his hands dirty to reach you and to touch you. He is not a God that is afar off. He is not a God that is afraid of your sins. He is not a God that is standing back. He is a God that left heaven, and he will come down and get his hands dirty and reach you and I right where we are. Jesus spits in the dirt and makes some mud. Now, come on, let's be honest right here, okay? That's freaking weird, right? Come on, somebody. I mean, like, that's weird. Good thing the guy was blind, because if he had seen what Jesus was doing, he might have ran away. Jesus reached in, like, I don't understand. I don't understand that. Cody, give me a theological definition of why Jesus spit in the mud and the significance of the mud and the significance of the spit, and I would say, you got to find another preacher to teach you all that stuff. Because I don't know. I don't understand. It doesn't really make sense. But how many of you will agree with me that oftentimes in our lives, God does something that doesn't make sense, and God will ask us to do something that doesn't make any sense? That's why we can't try to figure it all out. That's why we have to do what the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. God really wants, you know what God really wants from you and I? For us to trust him and be obedient. Just be obedient. I mean, who don't want an obedient dog? Come on, somebody. Who doesn't want obedient children? Who doesn't want an obedient wife? Just teasing. Be obedient. That's what God wants from you and I. Just to be obedient. Obedience will always cost us something. Obedience will cost us effort and energy and action. And Jesus said, I'm going to make some mud. I'm going to rub it in your eye. And then I want you to go over this pool of Siloam and wash it off. This man had probably been to that pool and washed in that pool many, many times before that. But this was a divine moment. This was where Jesus asked him to be obedient. And he goes and he washes the mud off in an ordinary pool of water, and he comes back and he is healed and he can see for the first time in his life. How many know that had to be a moment for that guy? A moment that changed his life forever. He goes, he watches, he's obedient, he can see, and then he comes back. And when he comes back, these people, they didn't recognize him. These people that he had lived life with forever. These people who had seen him laying there begging. People that had seen him for 20-something years. They didn't recognize him. He's the same guy. He's got the same clothes on. He comes back to the same place and they didn't recognize him. Here's the reality in that. When we have a true encounter with Jesus Christ, we are changed from the inside out, and some people don't recognize us anymore. I mean, really? Come on now. Is that can't be Cody. That can't be the Cody that I used to know, the Cody. I don't even reckon. That can't be Chachi. That can't be Colin Marley, whose marriage was on the rocks. That can't be Hugh. That can't be Bruce. Yes, it is the same person, and we have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to recognize the goodness of God in our life. Not everybody, listen to me. Not everybody wants to see us changed by the power of God. Not everybody wants to see us full of joy and full of peace. Not everybody wants to see us living out a new life with new habits and a new attitude. Some people don't recognize the change. They don't recognize the change in him. And so what do? They grab him up and they take him to the Pharisees, to the Jewish religious leaders. Now, I'm just going to tell you something right now. I hate the spirit of religion. And what I mean by that is, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a faith. Religion is where we say, okay, I've got this figured out. Religion is where we say, I'm saved and you're not. Religion is when people get spiritually inflated and they look down on others that are not quite where they are just yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These religious leaders, they dressed the right way. They didn't wear a hat when they preached. Their music wasn't real loud. They did everything exactly by the book. And when they bring this man who's been healed and can now see, the religious leaders start picking apart the miracle of God and start picking apart what Jesus had done in the man's life. Shouldn't the people in the church not pick it apart? Shouldn't they rejoice in that you've been touched and changed and the power of God has been present in your life? Sometimes people get religious and they start criticizing what God has done in your life. Can I tell you? I've almost been pastor here 25 years. And there are still people. I had a conversation less than 2 weeks ago with somebody. And they were trying to invite someone to church at Bethel. And you know what this man's response was? I'm not going to go to church over there. I know who Cody used to be. I know what Cody used to do. I know the things that he used to be about. They still want to criticize what God has done in my life, and there's going to be people in your life that are going to try to criticize what God is doing in your life. You just got to know that. You got to understand. And I want to say this to you. Stop trying to convince people who liked you better when you were blind, broken, and sick. Stop trying to convince people. Stop trying to please people. Stop trying to make people happy who liked you better when you were blind, broken, and sick. The religious leaders, they start picking it apart and they say, this happened on the Sabbath day. Well, the old law says you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Since when does praying for somebody constitute as working on the Sabbath day? And at the end of the day, who cares what day it happened on? Some man's life was changed forever. What difference does it make? The Pharisees asked the man, tell us what happened to you. Tell us what happened to you. And his response was very simple, very truthful, wasn't real deep, wasn't real theological. The man answers with the truth. And the man, they said, what happened to you? And the man said, Jesus put some mud on my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. He told the absolute truth. The Pharisees couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe the miracle of God. So the religious leaders go, you know what? We're not getting what we want out of you, so we're going to go find your parents. And he goes over to his parents, and he says to the parents, hey, is this your son? Was he blind? Well, what's going on with him? And his parents were afraid, the scripture says, of the Pharisees, afraid they were going to get kicked out of the church. And the parents said, well, he's grown man. He's old enough. Don't ask us. Go ask him yourself. Because can I say this? Always super religious and super spiritual people, they'll always be full of skepticism. They'll always try to force you into fear. They'll always try to intimidate you, and they'll always try to criticize you. The enemy always wants to silence you. And the guy said, I'm not going to be silenced. Well, why? Well, you was raised Methodist, Cody. Why do you go to that old Bethel Assembly Church over there? Well, you know what? You was raised in the Church of Christ. Why do you get so loud and worship with all those instruments? The religious world will always try to intimidate us and put fear on us and keep us from continuing to serve God. We are not here to please people. We are never going to satisfy them. We are here to please God. And you know what? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. And you ain't going to silence me, devil. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops and give God all the glory in my life. The parents said, go ask him yourself. I'm not answering. So they went back to the man who was healed. And for the second time, they called him in. And they said, God should get the glory for this because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And the guy responds, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is this. I was blind and now I can see. He didn't understand it all, but he understood Jesus changed his life. But what did he do to you, the leader said. How did he heal you? And the man says, look, I done told you fools once. Didn't you listen to me the first time? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to come with me and be one of his disciples as well? And the Pharisees got mad, and they responded by kicking him out of the synagogue. Wow. Wow. Jesus hears what went down. Jesus hears that the man got kicked out of the synagogue. And let me read you a few more scriptures. John 9, 35 through 41. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man who's healed but really doesn't understand and know everything yet. When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man and asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and it is me who is speaking to you. And the man says, yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and then he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered into this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think that they are, to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they're really blind. Some Pharisees who were standing by heard him and asked, are you saying that we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Jesus doesn't finish this miraculous story without making a point to the religious and the super spiritual and the holier than thou self-righteous people. Jesus says to them, you know what? I came into this world to render judgment. And he said to them, you know what? You think you can see, but you are really blind. You're blind with arrogance. You're blind with self-righteousness. And he said, if you would become blind, you would really be able to see and you would live by blind faith. I love this story. It's such a great story. I'll close with this. Connor and worship team, come help me close. Just like that blind man who struggled for years in his life, he couldn't see, he was born blind. Jesus healed him, and I'm going to tell you something, Jesus wants to heal his people today. One of the main things I want to say to you is this, for those of you that are struggling with pain and you're struggling with brokenness and loss, that does not mean God is punishing you. Hear me on this. I understand we live in a fallen world and pain hurts and loss sucks, but God is not punishing you. He may discipline us, but he is never punishing us. Sometimes bad things happen in this world. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. It's a result of living in a fallen world. Sometimes God allows us to go through some things so that he can do the miraculous and so that his glory can be revealed in our lives. Can I say to you today, be obedient to God. You say, Cody, here I am and I'm struggling. How many of you would agree with me? It's easier to be obedient when things are going good and everything is going like you like than it is to be obedient when life is wearing you out. No matter the case, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Just keep being obedient to God. Just keep being obedient, even if you don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense. God always honors obedience. When you're walking out this new life of obedience, this new life of being changed, not everybody's going to celebrate with you. Not everybody's going to celebrate with you. I'll say this again because we fall into the trap of being people pleasers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We want everybody to like us. We want everybody to think good of us. We want to be friends with everyone. I'm going to say this again. Don't waste your time trying to convince people who liked you better when you were blind, broken, and sick. There is a group of people that love the new you. There is a group of people that will celebrate the new you and the power of God working in your life. And that new group of people is called the body of Christ. Also, don't let others try to talk you out of what God has done in your life. Be like this man. Stand strong. The religious leaders and the people that he was around and lived life with, they gave him an opportunity and they gave him an out. But he said, no, I don't understand it. And I can't quote all the scripture to you, but here's what I know. My life has been changed. I was blind, and now I see, and it's only by Jesus Christ. Tell your story with boldness and conviction, even when you don't totally understand. A changed life through Jesus Christ is the ultimate evidence and proof of the power of God. We must always remain humble. I got to say this, much like Jesus finished this story. To those of you who may struggle with the spirit of religion, you may have a little bit of this self-righteousness because you were raised this way, because you didn't make these mistakes, and because you're not where someone else is. Listen, don't think that your eyes are open and you see everything of God, because when we think we can see everything and know everything and understand everything, that's when Jesus says we are guilty. It will do us all some good to close our eyes, humble ourselves, and say, I can't see anything. I'm going to walk by faith, trusting in you, God. At that moment, you'll see the power of God come in your life. Change God's lives. How many know this was a moment for that young man? And when the dust settled, it was a moment for his mom and dad. And when the dust settled, it was a moment for his friends. It was a moment that changed everything. I want to ask you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with a little bit of prayer, and then we're going to sing a song of worship. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I want to say this to you. Do not lose hope in your healing. Do not give up. Do not give in. This man, the scripture doesn't teach us exactly how old he was, but he was old enough that his parents said, he's a grown man, ask him yourself. So that means that from birth up until, we'll just guess, 18, 20 years old, he didn't get that healing, but he held on to hope and he held on to faith. As you're holding on to your faith, don't be silenced about it. Jesus is too good not to believe. He's too good not to believe. He's done too much for us to quit and fall back now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you something today. How many of you in this room would say, I need a healing from Jesus Christ, be it physical, be it spiritual, be it mental, be it relational? If that's you, let me see you raise your hands. Maybe you need it for you, you need it for someone else. We're going to take a minute and we're going to pray for you, because we believe in the power of unity and in the power of coming together. We believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now for every person that is in this room that has their hand raised. Lord, I pray for them that you would pour out your healing power. Lord, we thank you for doctors. We thank you for modern medicine. But God, your word says that you are the great physician. And so God, we pray right now for the men and women that are in this room that need physical healing. Lord, we know that the name of Jesus is way above cancer, that the name of Jesus is way above heart problems. We know, God, that the name of Jesus is above aches and pains. And so, God, we just simply come in here with blind faith. We can't see it, and it doesn't make sense. But today we pray, and we call on the name that is above all names. We call on the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray for physical healing in this room right now. Lord, we pray for spiritual healing for those of them who have been hurt in the church, for those of them who have been through dark and dusty times and their spirit seems to have dried up and their fire has gone out. Lord, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven and that you would pour out the fire of the Holy Spirit and you would fan into flames what you're doing inside of our life. And Lord, we would look at the past and we would look at the hurt. We would look at you, and when we see you high and lifted up the way Isaiah saw you in the temple, that it stokes our spiritual fires once again. Lord, I pray for people that need healing relationally today. I pray for the marriages that are struggling. I pray for the marriages where there is a wedge that has been driven between husband and wife. What God has joined together, never let man put asunder. Lord, I pray that your blood would wash over couples, that your blood would wash over marriages right now, that relationships would be restored, and God, you would restore them in a way that's better than they've ever been. Lord, I pray for family members, for children that are wayward, for children that are separated from their parents. Lord, I pray for healing relationally in the family. Lord, just heal us all relationally. Lord, I pray for mental sickness today. I pray for mental health today. For those of us who are struggling mentally in our minds, Lord, I trust the Word of God. And the Word of God says that we can take on the mind of Christ. Many of us have a bad mindset. We have a bad mindset we've inherited from our parents. We have a bad, negative, victim mentality. Poor, pitiful me. God is out to get me. Lord, I pray that you would renew our minds and we would take on the mind of Jesus Christ and we would leave here trusting you and living for you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. You have been so good to us. You are too good not to believe. Do something in our lives, Lord, that we are not ashamed to stand up and tell the story, that we're not ashamed to stand up and say, I don't understand it all, but this man named Jesus, he came into my life, and I have forever been changed. I've been changed on this earth, but I've been changed throughout eternity too. We love you, God. Hear our prayers. Answer them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a